Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody this morning. We're very glad that you came to worship with us. Those of you that are watching online, we welcome you also. As Frank said, we're glad you're tuning in, but we'd love to have you here face to face. But we're very glad that you're worshiping with us today. A couple of prayer requests real quick. Kathy wanted to thank everybody for the prayers for her niece recently, Joanna Rankin. She is doing better, and Kathy says God does listen to our prayers and answers our prayers. That's a good lesson right there. We should have one of these days Sunday morning. And also, Deborah Webster responded to and asked prayers for a friend of hers, Mark Armstrong. His family has found out that his uncle is not doing very well. Also, she would like prayers for her family as the one-year anniversary of the death of her mother is coming up. You always miss your mom, always. And let's remember Deborah's family at this time. Also, Marion is out of town. She is in California. We need to remember her. And if you would, keep our son Bobby in your prayers. He's traveling this week. He's going to be in California. But before we start our lesson, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you and we thank you for all the blessings that you give us. We thank you for hearing our prayers to you, that we can approach your throne and boldly ask requests of you, that we can praise you, that we can offer up our heart to you. We're so thankful that you hear us and that we can be confident of that. Dear God, please be with Deborah's friend, Mark Armstrong, his family, especially his uncle at this time. We ask that you be with the doctors as they treat him. Dear God, we also remember her family as they're coming up on the one-year anniversary of the passing of her mother. Even though it's natural, it does affect us, and we miss our loved ones. But when they're faithful Christians, we can rejoice all the more knowing their outcome.
Amen.
Dear God, we also thank you for hearing our prayers for Kathy's niece, Joanna Rankin. She is recovered. She's back at work, and we thank you for that. Dear God, we ask that you be with those traveling this week. Daryl will be traveling. My son Bobby is traveling. We ask that you be with him and Marion while she's traveling in California. Be with the rest of this worship. We hope that everything we do, say, sing, and pray to you is to your glory and is done in spirit and in truth. We pray everything through your son Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I want to make an announcement real quick before we get into our lesson. Oki Boulevard Church of Christ is having a ladies' day this coming Saturday. There is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. If I know some of you ladies have signed up and are planning on going, if you are planning on going, if you could sign up on that sheet. They are providing lunch and need a pretty accurate head count. This is a great opportunity for the ladies to get together with other Christian women throughout the valley, hear some good lessons and fellowship and do something to bring the congregations together. About 6-7 months ago, many of the preachers of the Churches of Christ in the Valley have been meeting once a month for breakfast and discussion and prayer. And this is just another way that the congregations can be unified and be sister congregations rather than isolated little entities. But it's next Saturday. It starts at 9 o'clock, and the sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board in the next room. Last week, the lesson was about sunrise, about how God gives us a sunrise. They are from God, and it's a reminder that no matter what our life has been prior to that, we have the opportunity for a new day, that we have an opportunity to correct past wrongs, that we have an opportunity to repent, and a new opportunity to grow, that we don't have to continue being the same person we always have been. And today, I want to continue on with that idea and look at sunset. God has given us sunrises and sunsets. And a sunset, regardless of how hectic or even chaotic a day has been. And if you're anything like me, some days are better than others. Some days you're put through the ringer. But God gives us each sunset to mark the end of that day. And that time of day can be a time of reflection. And I hope that is something that we do periodically. Because without reflection, we don't take that opportunity to grow. We don't take that opportunity of being appreciative and giving thanks to God for the blessings that we have. When we do take time to reflect, it opens our eyes. And sunset is that time of day. Things are slowing down a little bit, hopefully. And we can sit back and reflect on the day, question if there's anything left undone in our lives. Is a relationship with somebody, is there anything left to patch up with somebody? Is there a hug that is left undone? Is there a person that you need to say, I love you to? A prayer to God, thanking Him for this day that we've been awarded, that we've been given. Not everybody had been given that day. Going to a funeral this afternoon of a young man that has passed away. He wasn't given this day. Every day is a gift from God. Do we use this time at the end of the day? Was there a lesson to our children that needed to be taught? Always think of, I love old things, old movies, old TV shows. Leave It to Beaver. At the end of the show, Wally and the Beav always learned the lesson from Dad. Mm-hmm. They always wrapped things up, and there was a good lesson to be learned. Do we do that at the end of each day? At the end of our episode of today? Do we use that time to reflect, to think back, to thank God for the opportunities we've had? Reflect, were we the example at work, in our home, to the people that we love the most? Were we that good example? I don't mean this to be morbid, but more of a sobering thought. This sunset may be our last. Every day, people go through a last sunset, and they don't get tomorrow. Sunsets are a time of reflection. In Psalm 113, Kurt read this morning, verse 3, from the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. I hope every day as I look back on my efforts that day that I've given my best, that the Lord got the best from me, that my loved ones got the best from me, that my friends got the best of me, and that the Lord was praised through my behavior, through the things I said, through how I said them. The whole day, the Lord's name is to be praised. In Ephesians 4, Paul wrote, "Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath." If something did arise, now first of all, this is a whole sermon, this very verse. This is not license to go around and be angry. Well, Paul said to, Jesus got angry. Yes, Jesus got angry. Paul says, be angry. But what kind of anger? The kind of anger Paul had at people was righteous anger, righteous indignation. When Jesus was angry, it was never personal. When I get angry, 99% of the time, it's personal. When Jesus got angry, it was over people violating God's word. Using that standard, not my standard. But Paul says, be angry and do not sin. If you get upset using God's standards, oh well, Paul did. Paul got upset with people that were violating God's word, that were misinterpreting, misapplying God's word. But he says, don't sin in doing it. And do not let the sun go down on your wrath. You take care of it. We've seen many times, Jesus gives us the example in Matthew 18. If you have something against your brother, stew and let it fester and boil over. He doesn't say that. He says, if you have something against your brother, go to your brother. Fix it. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And there's a fine line in overlooking something and going to your brother and dealing with it. Don't stew and let it fester for weeks and weeks and weeks, turns into years. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Fix the problem. In Exodus 22, I know this is an Old Testament verse, the concept is alive and well with us today for us. It says, if you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. The concept is alive. This was talking about returning a garment to somebody that was a pledge. The idea, though, is you take care of things between you and your neighbor, you and your family, you and your friend, you and whoever, before the sun goes down. We may not get another opportunity. We don't want that hanging over our heads. James 4, the brother of the Lord, wrote in verse 13, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Now, this is not saying don't be prepared to live a haphazard, unorganized life. Well, we don't know if we're going to have tomorrow, so I won't do anything today to prepare for tomorrow. That's not what that is saying. We don't know what the future holds. Be prepared, especially spiritually. Especially spiritually, plan for tomorrow. Or to plan that we may not have tomorrow. But here James is saying, we don't know what tomorrow holds. For those people that have all these plans, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. You don't even know if it will come about. We see a companion to this. Jesus talks about it in Luke 12, and through a parable, starting in verse 16. It says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he says, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." I don't know, I know some of you like to plant a garden. This guy was probably a better farmer than I am. You know, he had to tear down barns. I might have to get a bigger Ziploc bag to put the stuff in. That I'm not a farmer. But it goes on to say, but God said to him, "Fool, for this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?" This man was making all of these arrogant assumptions about the future. He didn't even get that future. All of those things, and you notice never once in that parable that the guy never did give praise or glory to God for the things that he did accomplish. In Romans 12, Paul addresses, in the chapter, he's talking about the various gifts that we have. And we've had lessons about that, how we all have different abilities, different things that we bring to the table to work as a congregation, to serve God. And Paul says in verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." That's the key. Two things in this passage. One, we all have different gifts and abilities. Things that Kurt Jensen can do, I can't. Or I'll put it this way, I might have a lot of trouble at. things that Tracy does, I may or may not be talented in. Things that Armita can do, Ken may struggle with. But we all work together as a family, using, complementing each other's talents. I love the quote there by Thomas Edison. He says, "Opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work."
Amen.
A lot of people shy away from that. Anything that you might cause a sweat, might cause your hands to get dirty. Puts too much time and effort into that. I don't want any of that. But Paul says here, we've got different gifts. The key, use them. Because we don't know what the future holds. Use them now. Not I'll do it tomorrow. What did you do today? What did I do today? I may not get tomorrow. If we served God, and that's an if. If we've served God, sunset doesn't have to be feared. The end of our day, what we mark sunset as, or even when you think about it, the end of our life, doesn't need to be feared or avoided. Proverbs 3, verse 24 says, "When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet." This ties together with what Paul said in Philippians 4 about the peace of God that passes all understanding. How do you explain to somebody that doesn't have, that's not a Christian, that doesn't have that peace? How do you explain that to somebody? It surpasses all understanding. We can have that at the end of the day, whether it be the day or our life. When we face sunset, it's not something we have to be scared of. It's not something that we have to try to avoid at all cost. We can lay our head down and our sleep be sweet. We look at Paul's sunset. As Paul was in prison, awaiting his martyrdom, the last two books that we have recorded that we know from Paul was 1 and 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, Paul could confidently write, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." Not, "I sure hope so. I'm crossing my fingers." "There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." And one of the greatest passages encouraging me, and not only to me only, but to also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul was telling Timothy that it applied to Paul, but it could also be applied to Timothy and to Christians in the first century that were going through unbelievable hardships. But it applies to us today. Paul's sunset was not something he feared. He looked forward to it earnestly because he knew of the reward that was coming. Last 2 weeks, we've looked at sunrise and sunset. They are both given by God. I hope we give thanks to God for each one of them. Every time. Let them be reminders to us. This sunrise might have been our last. Hopefully we'll make it to sunset. And hopefully we'll have many more. But as James says, we're not guaranteed. Again, I want to emphasize, this is, I hope this didn't come across as morbid. It was not intended that way, but sobering. An eye-opener about sunrises and sunset. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you have not put your Lord on in baptism, you're not saved. You're not right with God. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you are baptized but have strayed, stumbled, repent. That's the greatest, repentance is one of the greatest things we have. That we can pray to God, change our ways, and the blood of Christ forgives us of our sins. If you need prayers of the congregation, if there's an issue between you and a brother or sister, make it right today. It doesn't have to necessarily be up front, unless it's public. But if there's something keeping you from serving God fully, patch that up with that brother or sister. Whatever your need, please come forward while Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.